And now, Chapter 34. The great sage Narad visits the different homes of Lord Krishna. When the great sage Narad heard that Lord Krishna had married 16,000 wives after he had killed the demon Narakasura, sometimes called Baumasura, he was astonished that Lord Krishna had expanded himself into 16,000 forms and married those wives simultaneously in different palaces. Being inquisitive as to how Krishna was managing his household affairs with so many wives, Narad, desiring to see these pastimes, set out to visit Krishna's different homes. When Narad arrived in Dwarka, he saw gardens and parks full of various flowers of different colors, and orchards overloaded with a variety of fruits. Beautiful birds were chirping, and peacocks crowed delightfully. There were tanks and ponds full of blue and red lotus flowers, and some of these sites were filled with varieties of lilies. The lakes were full of nice swans and cranes, whose voices resounded everywhere. In the city, there were as many as 900,000 great palaces built of first-class marble, with gates and doors made of silver. The posts of the houses and palaces were bedecked with jewels, such as touchstone, sapphires, and emeralds, and the floors gave off a beautiful luster. The highways, lanes, streets, crossings, and marketplaces were all beautifully decorated. The whole city was full of residential homes, assembly houses, and temples, all of different architectural beauty. All of this made Dwarka a glowing city. The big avenues, crossings, lanes, streets, and also the thresholds of every residential house were very clean. On both sides of every path, there were bushes, and at regular intervals, there were large trees that shaded the avenues so that the sunshine would not bother the passers-by. In this greatly beautiful city of Dwarka, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, had many residential quarters. The great kings and princes of the world used to visit these palaces just to worship him. The architectural plans were made personally by Vishvakarma, the engineer of the demigods. And in the construction of the palaces, he exhibited all of his talents and ingenuity. These residential quarters numbered more than 16,000, and a different queen of Lord Krishna resided in each of them. The great sage Narad entered one of these houses and saw that the pillars were made of coral and the ceilings were bedecked with jewels. The walls, as well as the arches between the pillars, glowed from the decorations of different kinds of sapphires. Throughout the palace were many canopies made by Vishvakarma that were decorated with strings of pearls. The chairs and other furniture were made of ivory, bedecked with gold and diamonds, and jeweled lamps dissipated the darkness within the palace. There was so much incense and flavored gum burning that the scented fumes were coming out of the windows. The peacocks, sitting on the steps, became illusioned by the fumes, mistaking them for clouds, and began dancing jubilantly. There were many maidservants, all of whom were decorated with gold necklaces, bangles, and beautiful saris. There were also male servants, nicely dressed in cloaks and turbans and jeweled earrings. Beautiful as they were, the servants were all engaged in different household duties. Narad saw that Lord Krishna was sitting with Rukmini Devi, the mistress of that particular palace, who was bearing the rod of a chamara whisk. Even though there were many thousands of maidservants, equally beautiful and qualified, and of the same age, Rukmini Devi personally was engaged in fanning Lord Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, worshipped even by Narad, Yet as soon as Krishna saw Narad enter the palace, Krishna got down immediately from Rukmini's bedstead and stood up to honor him. Lord Krishna is the teacher of the whole world, and in order to instruct everyone how to respect a saintly person like Narad Muni, Krishna bowed down, touching his helmet to the ground. Not only did Krishna bow down, but he also touched the feet of Narad, and with folded hands, requested him to sit on his chair. Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality, worshipped by all devotees. He is the most worshipped spiritual master of everyone. The Ganges water, which emanates from his feet, sanctifies the three worlds. All qualified Brahmins worship him, and therefore he is called Brahmanyadeva. Brahmanya means one who fully possesses the Brahminical qualifications, which are said to be as follows: truthfulness, self-control, purity, mastery of the senses, simplicity, full knowledge by practical application, and engagement in devotional service. Lord Krishna personally possesses all these qualities, and he is worshipped by persons who themselves possess such qualities. There are thousands and millions of names of Lord Krishna, Vishnu Sahasranam, and all of them are given to him because of his transcendental qualities. Lord Krishna in Dvarka enjoyed the pastimes of a perfect human being. Therefore, when he washed the feet of the sage Narad, and he took the water on his head, Narad did not object, knowing well that the Lord did so to teach everyone how to respect saintly persons. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is the original Narayan, the eternal friend of all living entities, thus worshipped the sage Narad according to Vedic regulative principles. Welcoming him with sweet, nectarian words, he addressed Narad as Bhagavan, or one who is self-sufficient, possessing all knowledge, renunciation, strength, fame, beauty, and other similar opulences. He particularly asked Narad, "What can I do in your service?" Narad replied, "My dear Lord, this kind of behavior by your Lordship is not at all astonishing, for you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead and master of all species of living entities. You are the supreme friend of all living entities, but at the same time, you are the supreme chastiser of the miscreants and the envious. I know that your Lordship has descended on this earth for the proper maintenance of the whole universe. Your appearance, therefore, is not forced by any other agency. By your sweet will only, you agreed to appear and disappear. It is my great fortune that I have been able to see your lotus feet today. Anyone who becomes attached to your lotus feet is elevated to the supreme position of neutrality and is uncontaminated by the material modes of nature. My Lord, you are unlimited. There is no limit to your opulences. Great demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are always busy placing you within their hearts and meditating upon you. The conditioned souls who have now been put into the blind well of material existence can get out of this eternal captivity only by accepting your lotus feet. Thus, you are the only shelter of all conditioned souls. My dear Lord, you have very kindly asked what you can do for me. In answer to this, I simply request that I may not forget your lotus feet at any time. I do not care where I may be, but I pray that I constantly be allowed to remember your lotus feet." The benediction which the sage Narad asked from the Lord is the ideal prayer of all pure devotees. A pure devotee never asks for any kind of material or spiritual benediction from the Lord. His only prayer is that he may not forget the lotus feet of the Lord in any condition of life. A pure devotee does not care whether he is put in heaven or hell. He is satisfied anywhere, provided he can constantly remember the lotus feet of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya also taught this same process of prayer in his Shikshastika, in which he clearly stated that all he wanted was devotional service, birth after birth. A pure devotee does not even want to stop the repetition of birth and death. To a pure devotee, it does not matter whether he has to take birth again in the various species of life. His only ambition is that he not forget the lotus feet of the Lord in any condition of life. After departing from the palace of Rukmini, Naradaji wanted to see the activities of Lord Krishna's internal potency, Yogamaya. Thus he entered the palace of another queen. There he saw Lord Krishna engaged in playing chess, along with his dear wife and Uddhava. The Lord immediately got up from his seat and invited Narad Muni to sit on his personal seat. The Lord again worshipped him with as much paraphernalia for reception as he had in the palace of Rukmini. After worshipping him properly, Lord Krishna acted as if he did not know what had happened in the palace of Rukmini. He therefore told Narad, "My dear sage, when your holiness comes here, you are full in yourself. Although we are householders and are always in need, you don't require anyone's help, for you are self-satisfied. Under the circumstances, what reception can we offer you, and what can we possibly give you? Yet, since your holiness is a Brahmin, it is our duty to offer you something as far as possible. Therefore, I beg your pleasure to order me. What can I do for you?" Naradaji knew everything about the pastimes of the Lord, so without further discussion, he simply left the palace silently, in great astonishment over the Lord's activities. He then entered another palace. This time Naradaji saw that Lord Krishna was engaged as an affectionate father, petting his small children. From there he entered another palace and saw Lord Krishna preparing to take his bath. In this way, Saint Narad entered each and every one of the 16,000 residential palaces of the queens of Lord Krishna, and in each of them, he found Lord Krishna engaged in different ways. In one palace, he found Krishna offering oblations to the sacrificial fire and performing the ritualistic ceremonies of the Vedas as enjoined for householders. In another palace, he found Krishna performing the Pancha Gyagya sacrifice, which is compulsory for a householder. This Gyagya is also known as Pancha Shun. Knowingly or unknowingly, everyone, especially the householder, commits five kinds of sinful activities. When we receive water from a water pitcher, we kill many germs that are in it. Similarly, when we use a grinding machine or take foodstuff, we kill many germs. When sweeping a floor or igniting a fire, we kill many germs. And when we walk on the street, we kill many ants and other insects. Consciously or unconsciously, in all our different activities, we are killing. Therefore, it is incumbent upon every householder to perform the Pancha Shun sacrifice to rid himself of the reactions to such sinful activities. In one palace, Narad found Lord Krishna feeding Brahmins and performing ritualistic yajnas. In another palace, Narad found Krishna silently chanting the Gayatri Mantra. And in a third, he found him practicing fighting with the sword and shield. In some palaces, Lord Krishna was found riding on horses, elephants, or chariots, and wandering hither and thither. Elsewhere, he was found lying down on his bedstead, taking rest. And somewhere else, he was found sitting in his chair, being praised by the prayers of his different devotees. In some of the palaces, he was found consulting with ministers, like Uddhava, on important matters of business. In one palace, he was found surrounded by many young society girls, enjoying in a swimming pool. In another palace, he was found giving well-decorated cows in charity to the Brahmins. And in another palace, he was found hearing the narrations of the Puranas, or histories, such as the Mahabharata, which are supplementary literatures for disseminating Vedic knowledge to common people by narrating important instances in the history of the universe. Somewhere Lord Krishna was found enjoying the company of a particular wife by exchanging joking words with her. Somewhere else, he was found engaged with his wife in religious ritualistic functions. Since it is necessary for householders to increase their financial assets for various expenditures, Krishna was found somewhere engaged in matters of economic development. Somewhere else, he was found enjoying family life according to the regulative principles of the Shastras. In one palace, he was found sitting in meditation, as if concentrating his mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is beyond these material universes. Meditation, as recommended in the authorized scripture, is meant for concentrating one's mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. Lord Krishna is himself the original Vishnu, but because he played the part of a human being, he taught us definitely by his personal behavior what is meant by meditation. Somewhere Lord Krishna was found satisfying elderly superiors by supplying them with things they needed. Somewhere else, Naradaji found that Lord Krishna was engaged in discussing topics of fighting, and somewhere else in making peace with enemies. Somewhere Lord Krishna was found discussing the ultimate auspicious activities for the entire human society with his elder brother, Lord Balaram. Narad saw Lord Krishna engaged in getting his sons and daughters married with suitable brides and bridegrooms in due course of time. And the marriage ceremonies were being performed with great pomp. In one palace, the Lord was found bidding farewell to his daughters, and in another, he was found receiving a daughter-in-law. People throughout the whole city were astonished to see such pomp and ceremonies. Somewhere the Lord was seen performing different types of sacrifices to satisfy the demigods, who are only his qualitative expansions. Somewhere he was seen engaged in public welfare activities, establishing deep wells for water supply, rest houses and gardens for unknown guests, and great monasteries and temples for saintly persons. These are some of the duties enjoined in the Vedas for householders, for fulfillment of their material desires. Somewhere Krishna was found as a Kshatriya king engaged in hunting animals in the forest and riding on very beautiful Sindhi horses. According to Vedic regulations, the Kshatriyas were allowed to kill prescribed animals on certain occasions, either to maintain peace in the forests or to offer the animals in the sacrificial fire. Kshatriyas are allowed to practice this killing art because they have to kill their enemies mercilessly to maintain peace in society. In one situation, the great sage Narad saw Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead and Master of Mystic Powers, acting as a spy by changing his usual dress in order to understand the motives of different citizens in the city and the palaces. Saint Narad saw all these activities of the Lord, who is the supersoul of all living entities, but who played the role of an ordinary human being to manifest the activities of his internal potency. Smiling within himself, he addressed the Lord as follows: "My dear Lord of all mystic powers, object of the meditation of great mystics, the extent of your mystic power is certainly inconceivable, even to mystics like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. But by your mercy, because of my being always engaged in the transcendental loving service of your lotus feet, your lordship has very kindly revealed to me the actions of your internal potency. My dear Lord, you are worshipable by all, and demigods and predominating deities of all 14 planetary systems are completely aware of your transcendental fame. Now please give me your blessings so that I may be able to travel all over the universes singing the glories of your transcendental activities." The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, replied to Narad as follows: "My dear Narad, O sage among the demigods, you know that I am the supreme instructor and perfect follower of all religious principles, as well as the supreme enforcer of such principles. I am therefore personally executing such religious principles in order to teach the whole world how to act. My dear son, it is my desire that you not be bewildered by such demonstrations of my internal energy." The Supreme Personality of Godhead was engaged in his so-called household affairs in order to teach people how one can sanctify one's household life, although one may be attached to the imprisonment of material existence. Actually, one is obliged to continue the term of material existence because of household life. But the Lord, being very kind upon householders, demonstrated the path of sanctifying ordinary household life. Because Krishna is the center of all activities, the life of a Krishna-conscious householder is transcendental to Vedic injunctions and is automatically sanctified. Thus Narad saw one single Krishna living in 16,000 palaces by his plenary expansions. Due to his inconceivable energy, he was visible in the palace of each and every individual queen. Lord Krishna has unlimited power, and Narad's astonishment was boundless upon observing again and again the demonstration of Lord Krishna's internal energy. Lord Krishna behaved by his personal example as if he were very much attached to the four principles of civilized life, namely religion, economic development, sense gratification, and salvation. These four principles of material existence are necessary for the spiritual advancement of human society. And although Lord Krishna had no need to do so, he exhibited his household activities so that people might follow in his footsteps for their own interests. Lord Krishna satisfied the sage Narad in every way. Narad was very much pleased by seeing the Lord's activities in Dvorka, and thus he departed. In narrating the activities of Lord Krishna in Dvorka, Shukdev Goswami explained to King Parikshit how Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, descends on this material universe by the agency of his internal potency, and personally exhibits the principles which, if followed, can lead one to achieve the ultimate goal of life. All the queens in Dvorka, more than 16,000 in number, engage their feminine attractive features in the transcendental service of the Lord by smiling and serving, and the Lord was pleased to behave with them exactly like a perfect husband enjoying household life. One should know definitely that such pastimes cannot be performed by anyone but Lord Sri Krishna, who is the original cause of the creation, maintenance, and dissolution of the whole cosmic manifestation. Anyone who attentively hears the narrations of the Lord's pastimes in Dvorka, or supports a preacher of the Krishna consciousness movement, will certainly find it very easy to traverse the path of liberation and taste the nectar of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, and thus he will be engaged in Lord Krishna's devotional service. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the second volume, 34th chapter of Krishna, the great sage Narad visits the different homes of Lord Krishna. And this ends volume 2.